The shiur tonight is titled The Patience of Hillel. So tonight we're going to continue with the theme that we were on last time I gave shiur a couple weeks ago, which was Hillel and Shammai. So I just want to go through a couple of stories with regard to Hillel to demonstrate the nature of his personality and his greatness. And there's a couple of many interesting stories about Hillel in the Gemaras, but the particular Gemaras that we're going to do, again, are quoted in the book that we're following, which is The Sages. And we're going to continue on and do some of the stories inside to see how unique Hillel was. So the first story that I want to take up is in the Gemara Shabbos. And if you have the source sheets, hopefully you do, it's source number one. And it starts as follows. It says, Tanu Rabbanan, a rabbi's taught, Le'olam yehe adam in vason kehillel, ve'al yehe kapton keshamai. So a person should always be humble like Hillel, and they shouldn't be upset or get angry in the way Shammai gets angry. So the Gemara starts off by telling us that there is a fundamental difference between Hillel and Shammai, which is that Hillel's nature was to be an anav, and Shammai was a kapton. So what's the story? Maisa b'shnei b'nei Adam. There's a story of two people. Shehemru ze'ezah. So either, well, the pshat of the Sefaria was that they were wagering with one another. They were betting each other. But if you look at Rashi, it says Shehemru nis'arvu kemoshem mamrim esayuvanim de Sanhedrin. It means that they got together. So two guys, two fellows got together. And Amru, kol mishielech v'yachnid es Hillel yitol arba me'ozuz. And they said to each other, anybody who bothers Hillel, who causes Hillel to get angry and upset, so they get 400 zuz. So they placed a nice little wager on this situation. And this was the bet. So Omar Echad Mehem Ani Akni Tenu. So one guy said, I'm up for the bet. I'll take the money. And I'll take the bet itself. And I'm the one who's going to cause Hillel to get angry. That's my goal. So Oso Yom Erev Shabbos Hayah. So he chooses Erev Shabbos. Of course, it makes sense to choose Erev Shabbos to bother Hillel. V'Hillel chafaf es rosho. So Hillel was taking a shower and he was shampooing his hair. He was in the middle of taking care of his grooming himself. Halach v'avar al pesach beso. So this one individual whose goal was to annoy Hillel, he passes by the front of Hillel's house. Amar, and he says, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. So he says, who here is Hillel? Who here is Hillel? And Rashi over there in source number two, if you skip down, it says Mikan Hillel, Klum Kan Hillel, Ulashan Gnai, Lenasi Yisrael. So he's basically saying, is there a person named Hillel here? And it's a Gnai. It was a degradation to call Hillel in this way, to say, who's Hillel? Who's Hillel? Hillel was the Nasi. He was the leader of the Jewish people at that time. He was the head of the Zug of Hillel and Shammai. Okay, so what happens? Nis'atef, go back to the Gemara, Nis'atef v'yatza likraso. So Hillel, he got dressed and he wrapped himself up in a robe and he went out to visit this guy. Amar lo b'ni ma'ata mevakish. So Hillel said, my son, what do you want? What are you asking? What's going on? Why are you calling me? So Amar lo she'ela yeshli lishol. So this guy whose goal was it to annoy Hillel said, I have a question for you, a very deep question. Amar lo sha'al b'ni. So he said, ask away. So sha'al. Sha'al b'ni sha'al. So ask. Just ask it already. So what did he say? B'pnei maro she'en shal bavliyim segal gulos. So his deep question was, why is it that the heads of the people in Bavel are round? Why are they round as opposed to, or some say oval, but they were abnormally shaped. So why are they so abnormally shaped? So Amar lo, he said, b'ni she'ela gedola sha'alta. This is a great question that you asked. B'pnei she'en lahem chayos pikchos. It's because they don't have good midwives. And when the midwives remove the babies, they don't shape their heads properly. So you know how nowadays they put a helmet on these kids who have misshapen heads in order to shape them properly. So in Bavel, they didn't have those helmets. And whoever was delivering the babies did a poor job shaping the heads of the Bavliyim. And that's why they look like they had such misshapen heads. So it sounds like a great question. And that was a good answer by Hillel. So halach v'himtin sha'achas. So the same guy, he says, oh, before we move on, let's just do Rashi in the context. So Rashi says, b'pnei mar roshan shel bavlim segalgalos, b'lona b'laz ma'arech bilti agol, she'eno agol. So one possibility is that it's more narrow and oval. Lishnachrina Roshon Shilbablium Sigalgal Agul. The other possibility is that they were exceptionally round. Either way, the point is that they had misshapen heads. So apparently the Bavliim, that was a feature that they had, a physical feature, they had misshapen heads. So the question is why? Oh, the answer is because they weren't delivered by expert midwives. Okay, so halach v'himtin sha'achas. So go back to the Gemara. The same guy whose job it was to, or who wanted to win the 400 zuz, he waits an hour. Chazar v'omar, mikan hillel, mikan hillel. So he comes back and he says, who is Hillel? Who is Hillel? And this Atef Yata Likroso. So Hillel did the same thing. He was in the middle of showering, whatever, getting ready for Shabbos, and he goes out. He puts on his robe, goes out. Amar lo, b'ni, ma ata mevakesh. So he says, my son, what do you want? What exactly are you calling me for? So Amar lo, she'ela yeshli lishol. So I have another great question for you, another doozy of a question. Amar lo, shal b'ni shal. So Hillel said, I want to hear it. Ask your question. So the question was, b'pnei ma enehen shal Tarmodin Terutos. So why are the eyes of those from this place called Tarmod, why are they bleary? So why are they so, some people say slanted or too round, we'll see Rashi, but they have weird eyes. Why are their eyes so weird? So Amar lo, b'ni, she'ela gedola sha'alta. You ask a great question. B'nei she'darin bein hacholos. Because they live in a sandy area, and their eyes are made in a way where they can protect the eyeball itself from sand getting in their eyes. So that's his answer. So it sounds like a deep answer. And then there's one more question. Halach v'imtin sha'achas. He tried a third time. He waited another hour. Apparently this was a couple hours before Shabbos. Chazar v'omar, mikan hillel, mikan hillel. Same thing. This atef yata likraso. So Hillel comes out a third time and he says, Amar lo b'ni ma'ata mevakesh. He says, my child, what are you asking? What do you want? So Amar lo she'ela yesh li lishol, Amar lo sha'al b'ni sha'al. Same back and forth. And Hillel again says, ask away whatever you want to ask. V'pnei ma ragleim shel afrikiyim rechavos. Why are the Africans' feet so wide? So Amar lo. So he said, b'ni she'ela gedola sha'alta. You've asked a grand question. V'pnei she'darin bein bitzei hamayim. It's because they live in marshlands. And that's why their feet have habituated to be wider in order to help them travel through the marshlands. Rashi, look at Rashi. So Trutos is Rakos, so it's narrow. Shedarim ben Acholos, so because they live, so why are their eyes so narrow? Because they live in the sand area, the sandy desert. V'aruch noshevetz v'nichnas b'sochei neim. And the wind is always blowing, and the sand gets into your eyes, as we're all familiar with at the beach. Another possibility is they had very round eye sockets. The Afkanani Omer Kane, Ubepnesh Darim Binacholos, Shina Osam Hamakom, Shluyehe, Sadak Shalinam, Aruch Kishalanu, Vyichnas Boachol. So it's the same reasoning that in order that there not be cracks or areas that sand can get in, so that's why it's shaped that way. And so too the feet of the Africans are very wide. Why? So that they don't drown and they don't get stuck in the marshlands. They normally walked barefoot, and their feet were spread out. Because shoes weren't appropriate in that type of environment. So they would walk barefoot, so their feet habituated to the landscape, and their feet spread out and got wider in order to help them so that they don't get stuck in the mud. So we have three questions, fascinating questions, seemingly on evolution here. So the question is, why is it that, one question was, why is it that that the Babylonians have such misshapen heads? And the answer was because they're not delivered by expert midwives. And the midwives, they don't know how to shape the head properly when they take the baby out. So they get all smushed up and they have weird shaped heads. The second question was on the eyes of the Tarmodin. Why are they narrow? And the answer was to protect them from sand. And then finally, the last question was, why is it that the Africans have such wide feet? And the answer is in order that they be able to walk through their environment without getting stuck in the mud. Okay, so now we get to the end of the story. So it seems like he failed because Hillel was able to take all these questions and he didn't get angry. He still answered all the questions, even though they seem like stupid questions. He didn't refuse him. He didn't say, get out of here. So what happens at the end? So go back. to the end of the Gemara. So it says, Amar Lo, so he said, before that, Amar Lo, B'ni She'ela Gedola, Sha'altim Nesh Darm Be'en Betz Yamayim. Amar Lo, She'elos Harbe Yesh Li Lishol. So the person who was trying to test him said, I have a lot of questions to ask. Umis Yare Ani Shematichos, but I'm afraid that you're going to get angry, Hillel. So Nis'atef Yashav Lefanav. So Hillel was still interacting with this individual, and he's sitting in his, wrapped up in his robe. And Amar Lo, Kol She'elos She'esh Lecha Lishol Sha'al. Anything you want to ask me, even though it's Erev Shabbos, you can ask me. Amar Lo, Atahu Hillel She'kornos Cha Nasi Yisrael. So this individual, this guy who was trying to win the bet of 400 zuz, he says, are you really Hillel, who's the Nasi, the prince of Klal Yisrael? Amar Lo, Hein, I am. So Amar Lo, Im Atahu Lo Yirbu Kamos Cha Yisrael. So if you're that individual, there should be no people like you in Yisrael. Amar Lo, B'ni, Mipnei Ma. So Hillel was stunned. Why are you saying that there shouldn't be people like me in Klal Yisrael? So Amar Lo, Mipnei Sha'avati Al Yadcha Arba Me'ozuz. Because you caused me to lose my bet. I lost the 400 zuz. The whole idea of the bet was that I was going to use my 400 zuz, or win my 400 zuz, by making you angry. And you didn't get angry. So there shouldn't be anybody like you anymore. So it says, Amar Lo, Havi Zehir Baruch Lecha Kedaihu Hillel She'te'aved Al Yado Arba Me'ozuz. The Arba Me'ozuz, V'Hillel Lo Yakbid. And Hillel's response was, or at least the Gemara's response is, that you would have even lost 800 zuz, because Hillel would never get angry, no matter what, in this type of situation. All right, so let me just summarize again, and then we'll get to some questions. So the story is that the Gemara starts off by saying that Hillel was an Anav, whereas Shammai was a Kapton. So Anav means humble, with humility, and a Kapton is somebody who's more strict, I guess, somebody who's, I guess, more impatient. Okay, fine. So the story is that these two guys, they were hanging out with each other, and they said, I'll make you a bet, 400 zuz. If you can get Hillel angry, you get the 400 zuz. So one guy, he says, okay, I'll try. So on Erev Shabbos, he goes up to Hillel, starts annoying him. He says, where are you, Hillel, where are you? And Hillel, he responds by saying, what do you want? You can ask any questions. And he asks a series of three questions, three separate times, three separate instances. And the questions seem to be pretty pretty average, nothing, not Torah related, nothing special questions. One was about the nature of the head shapes of the Bavliim. The second one was the nature of the eye shape of the Tarmodian. And then the final question was about the Africans and their feet. And he gives them three logical answers. One is because they're not delivered properly. The second one is because their eyes are made, so they're protected from the sand. And then the last answer was that the Africans should be able to walk through their marshlands. They have wider feet. And then finally, the guy is upset, and he basically kind of curses Hillel a little bit. He says, there shouldn't be any people like you I wasn't able to get you angry. I lost 400 zuz, which is a lot of money. And the Gemara responds that Hillel was so patient that had you even wagered more and done this more times, you still would have lost, because Hillel wouldn't have gotten angry. Okay, great. So we see that Hillel is an Anav, and we see from this story that he seems to have this great quality of extreme patience, Savlanus. But some of the questions were a little bit on the odd side. So one question on the Gemara is there a significance to the type of questions that were being asked here, or were they just random questions that the guy was using? What was the idea of asking these strange, seemingly scientific/evolutionary type questions to Hillel in this situation? But the stronger question, I think, is why is it a good thing that Hillel didn't get upset in this situation? Because we'll see in the halachos that he should have responded differently. So why is this a perfection of Hillel that he's taking a kind of a beating, an embarrassing situation, an embarrassment on the part of these individuals? Why doesn't he stand up for himself? Why doesn't he say, get out of here? You're mevazeh talmidei chachamim. So those are the two questions. The main question again is, what is it about Hillel that was praised in this situation? One would think that this would be a situation where you should turn them away. Why are you responding to this crazy type of question? And then the second is, what's the nature of these weird types of questions and answers? What's going on there? So those are the two questions that I want to address. And just to strengthen the stronger of the two, the Rambam says, based on the Gemara, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Vav, Halachit Aleph, this is source number 3, if you have the source sheets, Avon gadolhu levazos es hachamim, o lisanoson. So it's a great sin to make fun of, embarrass chachamim, or to hate them. Lo charva Yerushalayim ad shebizu ba tamidei chachamim. So the only reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed, or one of the main reason, is because the tamidei chachamim were embarrassed by the people embarrassed them. Shneamar v'yu malivim b'malachei elokim uvozim devar v'masasim b'neviyav. Klomar bozim elamdei devarav. So the Jewish people at that time, they were making fun of the Talmidei Chachamim, and as a result, they were destroyed. Yerushalayim was destroyed. V'chein ze she'amra Torah im b'chukos saitim asu malam de chukos saitim asu. So if you're disgusting, if you're terrible towards those who teach your laws, meaning Talmidei Chachamim, then you get all these punishments. V'chom mevazes achachamim ein lo chelek lo maba v'arehu b'chal ki devar Hashem biza. So anyone who's mevazet tamid chacham, he loses out on his portion in the world to come, and he's degraded the word of God, embarrassed the word of God. So again, the question is stronger. We see that this is an aveira. What these people are doing is really terrible. They're trying to embarrass Hillel by making him angry and making him look bad, and they're doing it for a petty money bet. So this was an iser. So why is Hillel should give him tochacha? I mean, there is a mitzvah when you see somebody doing an aveira that you should give him tochacha. And Hillel doesn't do that. He just takes this seriously. So why is this a perfection? And then furthermore, I didn't bring this down, but there's halacha that you're supposed to put a person who's mevazeh tamidei chachamim into nidui. You're supposed to ostracize them. Nidui is a real Torah halachic category where a person has to go into exile and they're kind of left alone. It's a real thing. It's an ostracization or being ostracized. So the question is, why didn't Hillel do that in this situation? Why didn't he correct these individuals? Why didn't he say anything? Instead, he's giving in to these clowns. So why is he listening to these clowns? Why is he giving in to these clowns? He should teach these clowns a lesson, you know? Teach them that you're not supposed to be making fun of Chachamim. It's really a terrible thing. So that's one thing. That's one question. And then, aside from that, the Rambam says in Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, Ein Melamdin Torah El Talmud Hagun Na Eben Masav, that a teacher should only teach a student who has the right midos, o letam, or to somebody who's simple. Aval ima yaholech b'derech lo tova, machzirin oso lemutov, umanhigin oso b'derech yishara, ubotkin oso, v'achar kach machlisin oso v'samedrish melamdin oso. But if you have a student that goes off the derech, you're not supposed to just take them in back into the base medrash because it could be destructive. You're supposed to test them and see if they really came back to the right, correct path, the path of Torah. And only then can you bring that individual into the base medrash. But you see by Mishalacha that you're not supposed to teach people ideas if they're not really on the level, if they're not on the right path, on the true path. And if you go on in the Rambam, he says, Amru Chachamim, it's equivalent to doing a Avodah Zarah. Shenamar, Kitzur Evan B'Mirgama, Kain Nosein L'Chsil Kavod. Ein Kavod El Torah, Shenamar Kvod Chacham Min Chalu. So if you give Kavod, which is a reference to Torah, to a student that's really not Ro'i, it's like doing a Avodah Zarah. And presumably the Rambam is alluding to the idea that You're giving this individual something to distort and something to use to reject God with. And that's really the worst thing possible, to use Torah, distort Torah, so you don't teach an individual like that. So these guys, these clowns again, who are trying to make him angry, why is Hillel responding? Even if he doesn't want to put him in Nidoy or give him Tochacha, why respond at all? They're clearly not hugging people. I mean, at the very end, the guy is cursing Hillel, and he's saying there shouldn't be more people like you, and he's just sitting there. And he doesn't get upset. But, you know, what kind of midah is this that Hillel is expressing? Well, where's the perfection here? Where's the good? And that's really the question that I want to take up and try to answer. Okay, so again, just to summarize for the third time, we have all these strange questions. That's one thing. And then the other question is, why is it that Hillel doesn't respond in a more aggressive manner? Why doesn't he put them in their place and tell them that this is not the way you behave towards Chachamim? When we see that it's really dangerous to allow people to act this way, it's very bad for society, it's bad for Torah, it's a bizoy of Torah. So how could Hillel allow this to happen? So those are the questions. All right, so in order to answer this question, I found this very fascinating Marsha on this Mara itself. And I think that the Marsha, aside from the Marsha itself, he actually kind of gives us a base, a foundation as to how to understand what the perspective of Hillel was, what his patience and his anivus was really tied to, and what was going on in the story. There's a deeper element to the story in Gemara Shabbos. So if you look in, again, source number 5 in the Marsha on this piece, it's a pretty long Marsha. We'll try to go slow and break it up a little bit. So Oso Ayom, Ayin Sham Hayav Hillel Vizofef. Okay, Kol Zeh Asa Bizman Shiakitenu Maher. Shelo Yelo Panai Azla Hashiv. So why did they choose Erev Shabbos? Because they knew that on Erev Shabbos, it's more likely that Hillel would get annoyed. Why? Because he's getting ready for Shabbos. Shabbos is coming. He's getting hurried. And he doesn't want to respond. So more likely he's going to be angry then. So that's why Erev Shabbos was chosen. Val Kain Avar Gam Kain Al Pesach Beso. That's why this guy who's trying to annoy Hillel walks in front of the house, not into the house. Why? Kadeshi Yatzel Likraso. Because he's forcing Hillel to leave his house in his robe, and he's forcing him to go out of his house in his robe. And that's going to annoy the normal average person that on Erev Shabbos in the cold, just using our environment as an example, I have to put my robe on while I'm shampooing my hair to go answer your question. So that's like the worst possible situation, the most likely situation that Hillel will get annoyed and get angry. Okay? So Libazeh Yakni Senu Biyoser, so that's why he chose it. The Chain Mashakasa Mikan Hillel, and then the last element to this test and this bet was that the individual said, "Where's Hillel? Who's Hillel?" Kilo Hikir Oso, as if he didn't know who Hillel was. He's just pretending like Hillel is a nobody. V'uaya Nasi Biyisrael Mefursam Nikar L'Chol Shebe Elu Dvarim Yakni Tenu Shemachshivo L'Shfal She'enu Nikar L'Shafel She'enu Nikar. So by just referring to him as Hillel and almost pretending like he had no, he wasn't the Nasi, even though everyone knew who Hillel was, he was the Nasi, he was the head of the generation, but he's pretending like he's a nobody. So he thought that would be another cherry on top in order to win this bet. So this guy's smart. I mean, he's using some good tactics to try to make him angry. You know, he's going in front of, on Erev Shabbos when people feel rushed, he's forcing Hillel to approach him while he's getting bathed. And then finally, the last part is that he's referring to Hillel as a nobody. So these are all good methods to try to annoy somebody. So if you're going to annoy somebody, definitely you can learn something from this Gemara as to how to annoy people. But what exactly, why didn't Hillel respond negatively? So, Mipnei Ma Rosham, Amar Le, B'ni She'ela, Ye She'ela B'zeh. So he says, similar question, Kevan D'Sha'ela Zu La B'Divrei Torah Havya. So since this question had nothing to do with Torah, Rak B'Mili D'Alma, it's just referring to general scientific knowledge with regard to the nature of the structure of the heads and the eyes and the feet. So if that's the case, Gam Imaya Hillel Anus Invasan, sorry, Lo Yelo Lahashiv Al She'elo Se'elu. Even if Hillel was an Anav, he should not have responded. Kemosha Amar Shlomo Bezeh Al Tan Ksil B'Ivalto. Like Shlomo says, you shouldn't respond to a Ksil, to a fool, with their nonsense. So he kind of asks the same type of question, which is that what's Hillel doing here? This is not Torah. It's not really relevant. It's Erev Shabbos, and this guy's asking about feet, and he's asking about eyes and head shapes. So why is he answering? This is nonsense. Okay, so what's the answer? V'nir b'zed lomar, d'mitoch in vasanuso, because Hillel was so humble, lo chashav Hillel devadei zeh balak nito be'elo shelos, he didn't think that this guy was coming to annoy him with these questions. Ela sheremez lo b'she'elos. He thought that there was this hint in these questions. There was some type of deeper meaning. Hanogos b'divrei Torah, which was applicable to Torah. Uvishloja shelos niskavin legimel midos haraos halalo. And Hillel maintained or believed that these questions really alluded and were hinting to three negative midos, three negative traits of individuals. And what are they? So he says, Sheheim ruach gavoa, the ayin ra'a v'nefesh rechava. So the three are haughtiness. Ayin ra'a is jealousy. And nefesh rechava is a person who just wants to collect money, as much money as possible. Money-driven individual. Shenisgaru b'tamidei bilam, then they're mentioned as the flaws of the tamidei bilam. Dahainu mashashal, and this is how Hillel interpreted these questions. V'pnei maroshayam, why are their heads? Niskavin lemida ha-ra'a deruach gavoha. So he wasn't referring to the physical shape of the head, but he was referring to the idea of gavos ruach, of having a haughty personality, having a haughty characteristic. And he says, he goes on, and he says, Mipnei Maroshem, Niskavin Lemida Ra Deruach Gavoha, Al Pima Shekasa Besov Perek HaYashan, Mipnei Dalad Varam Nichse Balibatim Yotzen LeTimyon. So there are four reasons why a person's wealth goes to the Romans. And one of them is Val Gasas Aruach. Uperish Rashi, what is that? Umishimistarim Umizgaim Alachayim. They take a haughty and a power authority approach over their friends, over their colleagues. Ayin Sham. Vizeshikasa Bibavel Yeshrosham Hashirim Sagalim Shadilgal Hachozer Behem Lirid Mnichseim. So I'm not sure exactly what this means. I looked this up like five times. But the question was, why are the wealthy of Bava, why are their heads round? And then he says, Shigalgal hachozer b'hem leirei minichsam. I just don't know what that means. I think it means that they turn, it has something in leirei minichsam means they're going to lose their money. B'bnei mahu b'eza, why is that? B'eza avon, what reason are their heads round? Meaning, why do they possess this flaw of gavos ruach? V'heishiv lo, zeh b'derech remez, b'bnei mashe in lahem chayos pikchos, t'hainu b'avon she'in pikchos, t'hainu shigasos ruach gavro b'hem. And the answer that Hillel was saying is the reason that they are so haughty and they deserve this avon of, I guess, their heads being round, which has to do with their property, is because of the fact that they allowed their haughtiness to take over them. And it was a remez, the idea of them not being healthy. Pekuchos is a remez. It's a hint to the idea that these individuals weren't healthy psychologically. They allowed their haughtiness to control them. Anybody who has this geus, this haughtiness, is a shota, is a moron. This is a terrible mida, ika b'bavel, that was existent in Bavel. So the first answer of Hillel was not that he understood or he thought that the questions related to a deeper concept in Torah, which is not a physical illness, but it's referring to the nature of the Bavliim, that they were, why were they punished? And the reason is that they lost their possessions. And the reason for that punishment is because they were haughty. And there's the way that he interpreted it was that there was a hidden meaning to the question. And then he goes on. It says the next question, "V'amar b'nei ma'inam shel tarmodian." What about the eyes question? Was it really referring to the narrowness of the eyes? Chashav Hillel shniskavin lemidas ara habez. So Hillel thought that this questioner was asking about the second mida, the ayin ra, which means it's like a jealous eye. Al pi mashikasa per chelik dora mabel lo nizgau el bishvil gagal ha'ayin. And then it refers to Dor HaMabel. It says that they didn't become haughty only because of the roundness of the eye. Uperish Rashi shayu magbien einayim umenafim achar einayim ad kan lashona. So it means that the Dor HaMabel were drawn in by the lust that was portrayed through their eyes. And it says, V'kama mekomos kina es haznus al shem ayin. Znus is oftentimes referred to through the eye. Ukamashikasov Gavi Shimshon, Halach Achar Enech, Enov Lefichach. Vizeshikasov de Betarmod on Nashim Raim Bidmidazu, Vahainu Enehem Trutos, Ayin Sham, Shehem Raim Kipirish Rashi. So one explanation is that they were evil, these people in Tarmod, and they were drawn in by Znus, similar to Dora Mabo. Enami Kipirish Rashi, Vimakumasacharim Trutos, Kmo Agulos, Ukamashikasov, Perichela Galgal Ayin. Vahishav Lo, Mipnesha Daros ben Acholos. So why are their eyes round? Which is a reference to the Mida of Ayin Ra. So the answer is because they live in the sand. Al pi mashakasov sof parakama diyavamos psule de tarmod mishum of de shlomo vahinu ben Acholos milashon chol she'im b'hin kedusha the geder erva kemoshi yesh b'miyuchasim shebiyisrael. So the idea is that those who aren't or don't grow up in an environment where there's a geder of znus, where there's a fence with regard to being engaged in znus, so those individuals are going to fall for this iser, for this flaw. And then the last idea, mipnei marag lein shal afrikim, what about the Africans? Chashav hilo sheniskavin lemidaro hashlosha shi nefesh rechava lasof mamon harbe. This was a reference to the idea of a person trying to acquire as much money as possible. V'ragleim rechava, and their feet were really wide. The karmina al pimashikas of eis kol yikum asher ragleihem zeh mamon shemamid es adam al raglav. So it's a reference again to the idea of acquiring wealth. V'heishiv b'pnei shedarim bein bitzei mayim. So the answer is because they live in the marshlands. Remez al shikasov shedarim sham bein hanachrim oavim abetza v'hamamon. And it's referring to the idea that they live amongst those who love money. So because they live in an environment of people who love money, that's why they're like that. Divrei Afrikehem ibnei Kanan, Shepanim Eretz Yisrael, K'disa Breish Perak Chelek, Umatzinu, Ba'al Pesh Amru Bechanan, Ba'al Perish Amru Bechanan, Shetziva Levanav Avo HaGezel, Ahevo HaGezel, Va'abetza V'dok. So the third idea is, why are the Africans so involved in money and want money? Because they were raised in a society and a culture that where money is the optimal, money was the best. So I just brought in this Marsha to illustrate one point, but just to go through it again, the Marsha understood the questions differently than the way we read the questions. The Marsha understood the questions to be deeper and reflecting on Torah, and each question was with regard to a different flaw. The first question was regarding the flaw of Gasus HaRuach, and that's referenced to the through the roundness of the heads of the Bavliim. The second one was the Enos, the eyes, which is a reference to Ayin Ra, which Rashi says Znus, or it could be also jealousy, like I was saying. And the last idea is the feet of the Africans is a reference to collecting money. And the answer of Hillel was it's because of the fact that they grew up in a society where money was treasured, money was optimal. Okay, so at least we understand. Yeah, Naomi, you have a question? Okay, so at least we understand as to why Hillel didn't throw the guy out. But what exactly are we to learn? What are we supposed to learn from this Maharsha about the nature of Hillel's perfection? So I think that this teaches us a very deep idea about Hillel, which is that the nature of his anivus was an anivus that relative to knowledge, meaning whenever knowledge or whenever a question was asked towards him, he didn't assume on a superficial basis, on a superficial level, that the question was dumb, that the question had no merit. Because you see from the story that he went beyond the superficial. He looked towards the deeper meaning. So Hillel's anivus here is a reflection of his relationship to his relationship to hold on 1 second. Oh, Naomi's asking a question. Can you guys not, you can ask out loud if you want, Naomi. Or can you not hear me? Or can I can hear you. I think you're all, hello? Hold on. This should work this time. All right, anyways, so it's a good question. No, they weren't asking those questions. I don't think that those were the nature of the questions then, but I do think, hold on, are you guys trying to ask and you can't hear you again? Hold on 1 second. Why is this not working? Hold on. Can somebody say something so I can hear if you guys can? Nope, okay, hold on. I turned off my, why is this not working? All right, I don't know why. Oh, the volume's not on? My volume is on. all right, whatever. If you want to ask, then just, I can hear everyone else, okay. Hold on, let me just fix this. I can do this. Okay. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to continue. And if you guys have any questions, just ask. You can just type it in, okay? I'll try to figure this out. I don't know. My volume is on and my microphone's on. I can't hear you. No, I can't hear you. Hold on. Tamar? Let me ask my wife if she can help me. Just 1 second. Everyone hold on. Tamar? No, she's in the other room. All right, I'm just going to continue, even though it's frustrating. Just ask me the questions in the chat, and I'll try to figure out what is going on, because I know you guys can unmute. Yeah? Okay. So anyways, what I was saying is that we see, what's the nature of Hillel's perfection? Hillel's perfection is such that he was an unof relative to knowledge. And whenever he was approached with anything that was of knowledge or even related to knowledge, he didn't look at it. He didn't look at information in a superficial manner because of his relationship to knowledge, because his anivus is in the framework of knowledge. So that's why, even in this situation, that was the perfection of Hillel. The perfection of Hillel was tied to the fact that he related to knowledge as an unof. He didn't think that he knew what the person meant on a superficial way. He didn't assume the answer right away. And he looked beyond the surface. And that's the idea of his anivus, that's his perfection. The perfection, so it's true, you know, if he was a simpleton, like if he looked at these on a superficial level, then yes, he should have admonished them and he should have sent them away and put them in Nidoy. But the nature of Hillel was such that he was such an unof relative to knowledge that whenever he was approached with a question, he never assumed that he knew the answer, and he never assumed the nature of the question. He always assumed that there's deeper, there's another level to the questions, there's another level to the information, another level to knowledge. So the nature, the personality trait that typifies Hillel and his perfection is his ability to see beyond the superficial, to see towards a deeper concept. And even though these people were trying to trick him and they were trying to get him angry, but nevertheless, the idea was that really, Hillel was seeing beyond that. Hillel was, his nature was to not take things at face value and to look beyond the superficial, and that's where his anivus is reflected. And again, it's not an anivus that he felt bad about himself or that his self-esteem was lacking, but it's an anivus relative to knowledge, that his perspective of knowledge was such that he never viewed any information or any question as being superficial, as being simple. There's always a depth to everything. There's always beyond something that perhaps is beyond what he sees, and he's willing to take on that challenge and willing to assume that it's a possibility. So that's, I think, the idea by Hillel over here in this story. But let me just do one more story, and I'll show you that it expresses itself in the second story of tonight's shir. Same kind of idea. So if you look in source number 6, it says, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Benachri Echad, Shebo Lifnei Shammai. So the story was that there was a Nachri, there was a non-Jew that came before Shammai. Amar lo, Kama Toros Yesh Lachem. So he said, how many Toros do you have? So Amar lo Shtayim, I have two. Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. There's the written Torah and the oral Torah. So Amar lo Shebichsav, Ani Mamincha, Vishbalpeh, Ani Mamincha. So he said, I believe in Torah Shebichsav, but I don't believe in Torah Shebalpeh. Giyarani Amanasha Tilamdini Torah Shebichsav. And he said to Shammai, convert me, and you'll teach me Torah Shebichsav, and that's enough for me. So Garbo Vehutziu Benizifa. So his Shammai sent him out, and he reprimanded him. No way, I'm not converting you if you're not going to accept Torah Shebal Peh. So Balifne Hillel Giyare. But Hillel was Miskarehem. Yoma Kama Amarle. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalid. So the first day he taught this individual, this non-Jew, who was being Miskayer, the Aleph Beis. And he said, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalid, Lamachar Afich Le. The next day he turned it around and he went backwards. So Amr Le, V'ha Esmo Lo Amrisli Hachi. So this individual, this non-Jew said, yesterday you taught me Aleph Beis Gimel, now you're teaching me the opposite. So what exactly is it? So Amr Lo, Laval Didi Ka Samachta, did you not rely on me? You're relying on me. So the fact is that you believe me, you trust me, and that's why you're asking this question, because you think that I am trustworthy. So since you're able to rely on me and you trust that I'm teaching you true knowledge, so you should also trust me when I teach you Torah Shebal Peh, and that it's true and it's really from God, from Hashem. So we have another story here that illustrates the idea of Hillel being an anav, but also not being a kapton like Shammai. And the story is that really, the halacha is like Shammai. The halacha in general is that if a non-Jew refuses to keep one mitzvah and they want to be miskayer, we're not miskayer them. You have to accept the whole Torah. It's all or nothing with regard to the Torah. So what exactly is the Gemara teaching us about Hillel? So again, I want to just show you that there's a consistency in this Gemara about Hillel, which is the same point as above, that when Hillel was involved with this individual, when he approached this individual and this individual approached him, Hillel didn't assume that when the person said, "I don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh," Hillel was aware, he was knowledgeable of human psychology, and he was aware that different people learn in different ways. Different people are influenced by different factors. And Hillel, based on his interaction with this individual, at least initially, knew that this person had the potential. Based on Hillel's psychological analysis of this individual, he knew that this person had the potential to learn and to learn that Torah Shabbat Peh is true in Min HaShemayim. So we see again the difference between Shammai and Hillel, that Shammai is not that it's a flaw in Shammai, even though it says Al Tei Kaptan like Shammai, but Shammai was more by the book. And Shammai, he saw things on a more direct level. But Hillel was always looking underneath the surface. And over here in this situation, this individual, he wanted to convert, and that was his goal, to convert, and to convert in a way where he wouldn't have to accept Torah Shabbat Peh. And Shammai saw the halacha, he knew the halacha, and he sends him away because Shammai looks at this as a direct type of situation, whereas Hillel, he was reading the person. He knew, he saw beyond the superficial, that the way this person's asking, what's the nature of his personality? Is this person subject to the authority, the idea of authority affecting him? And he taught him that, and he figured out, based on his interaction with him, that this individual would definitely be convinced of the truth of Torah Shabbat Peh. So again, we see the same concept by Hillel, which is that Hillel's fundamental perfection was his ability to constantly look beyond the surface. So many people are wired that when they hear a question or when they see a piece of information or when they interact with people, they take that on first face value. And that's not an imperfection. It's just the nature of most people. But an individual like Hillel, he always thinks that there's a depth, and he always sees beyond the superficial. And we see that expressed in these two stories, one with regard to the questions being asked, that the questions being asked were really meant to bother him, but he didn't perceive it that way. So even though, had he been Shammai, of course he would have reprimanded him. But because he's Hillel, because he sees beyond the superficial, his assumption is always that there's knowledge out there to be gained from anything. And if I can see it, if I can perceive it, then that's his nature. That was the way he was, his perfection, the way he was as an individual. And the second story illustrates the same concept, but with regard to man, that when he was involved with being Miskaira, this non-Jew, he didn't look at the situation on a more direct, I would say superficial capacity, but he saw beneath the surface. He saw that there was a much deeper element to this individual, and he was able to see beyond it. And that's really the difference, I would say, between the personalities of Hillel and Shammai in terms of what the Gemara is trying to teach us about Hillel, which is that characteristic of whenever being confronted with either an individual or a series of questions or information, to not assume that you know the answer, that the question's stupid, that the individual is really at face value. You never assume face value. The idea is that there's usually, and there's always depth, and there's always something that can be gained from that depth. And that's really the idea of Hillel. So, hold on 1 second. I'm going to fix this problem. 1 second. So let me turn off the recording.